you brought home to just like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes, he comes with his spiritual abode. So this is the land of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So today I thought of speaking about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Yes, very good. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Radha Krishna. Radha and Krishna, when they are combined together, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The more clear understanding will be when Krishna embraces Radharani. You know, then what happens? They become Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the height of their loving exchange, when Radha and Krishna embrace each other, then they become Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is Krishna? Shaktiman, the energetic. And who is Srimati Radharani? Energy. Is energy different? Is energy different from energetic? No. But yet, energy can become separated from the energy. Energetic. So, when energy becomes separate, when energetic and energy become separated, they manifest in two different personalities. And that is Krishna and Radharani. Radha Krishna pranayo bikritir ladini shaktir ashmad ekat manavopi bhubi pura deho bhedangatoto chaitan nakhyang prakata madhuna tadvayam chaikamaptam Radha Bhavuddhuti Shubalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. That is the explanation. Radharani is the personification of Krishna's pleasure potency. Pranaya Bikritir Ladini Shakti. Bhubi Pura Deho Bhedangatoto. In the past, although in the spiritual world there is no past, it's all eternally present. The time there is eternally present. But still we have to understand there is this consideration of past. Deho bhedam gato tau, they became two different bodies. Deho means body, bhedam, separate, gato tu. They became two. Those two are Krishna and Radha. Chaitanakhang prakata madhuna. Adhuna means now, at present. They have become one in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanakhang prakata madhuna tadvayam chaikam aptam রাধা ভাবদ্যুতি সুবলিতাং নৌমি কৃষ্ণ স্বরূপম। When they become one, then what happens? Krishna becomes endowed with the mood of Srimati Radharani and the complexion of Srimati Radharani. Krishna's complexion is dark. Radharani's complexion is fair. Fair like molten gold. Or even more precise definition can be when gold is mixed with kumkum. Molten gold is mixed with kumkum, reddish. So that is Radharani's complexion. Not only that's Radharani's complexion, it's said that color or that hue feels embarrassed in front of Radharani's complexion. Radharani's complexion is stealing the pride of this hue where molten gold is blended with kumkum. Kumkumakta kanchanabja garbhari gaurabha. Garva means pride. Hari means defeating. Gaurava means pride. The pride of that color, let's consider, if that color has some pride, that pride is being defeated by the complexion of Srimati Radharani. The point is, Radharani's complexion is not of this world. It's transcendental. We don't know what this sham of Krishna is, what's Gauri of Radha is. It's all transcendental. So, when Radha and Krishna become one, then what happens? Krishna actually assumes the mood of Srimati Radharani. What is the mood of Srimati Radharani? The mood of Srimati Radharani is of height of devotion. Height of devotion. Mahabhav. And complexion. So inner mood, internal mood of Srimati Radharani, the mood of highest form of devotion, and the complexion that she has, the fair complexion she has. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not just Krishna, but Krishna in the mood and complexion of Srimati Radharani. Radha bhavodduti shubalitam naumi Krishna swarupam. Then the question arises, why did Krishna want to become like Radharani? So the point here is, it actually leads us to that point. Krishna became Radharani. Isn't it? Krishna became Radharani. Krishna lost his identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Krishna became his greatest devotee. And along with that, his complexion changed. And that color is the color of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gauranga Sundar. Now the question arises, why? That also is answered. The answer is, Krishna wanted to know Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima, the glory of Radharani's love. How great is her love for him? How is her love for me? Krishna wondered. Sri Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisha. Kidrisha means how, what sort. Banai Bashadda Jenadbhuta Madhurima. What kind of wonderful sweetness is there in me that attracts her so much to me? Krishna is wondering. I am attracted to her, it's all right. But why she is attracted to me? Jenadbhuta Madhurima. What kind of sweetness, Madhurima, is there in me that attracts her towards me? Jenadbhuta Madhurima Kidrishava Madhya. And Shokhanchasya Madanubhavata Kidrishan. What kind of happiness does she experience? Loving me. What kind of happiness does she experience? Shokhanchasya Madanubhavata Kidrisham. Beti Lobhad. Lobha means greed. Krishna became greedy to understand that. Therefore, Radha Bhavuddhuti Shubalitang, and I'm sorry, Shochi Garbha Sindho Harindu. Just as moon appeared from the milk ocean, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared from the like the moon from the womb of Mother Sachi. So this is a general understanding. Maybe then we can go back. Then why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why did Krishna come? What business did he have? Why did he come? Anarpito charing chirat korunaya avatirna kalo. In order to bestow what was never been given before. Anarpito charing chirat. He appeared in the age of Kali. Korunaya, very mercifully, Korunaya, very mercifully he appeared here. Avatirna kalo. Samarpaito munnato jalarashang sabhakti sriyam. That, what is that that he never had given before? That is his own loving devotion in the most brilliant and in most exalted mellow. Most exalted, highest. What is that? There are five kinds of relationship, loving relationship. Neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental, conjugal. So which one is the highest? Conjugal. And ujjvala, not only the unnata, most exalted, but also most brilliant. And what is the brilliant aspect of it? There are two types of conjugal relationship. One is swakya and the other is parokya. Swakya means the relationship, you can say, that is socially approved. Socially approved. The relationship between husband and wife. That relationship is socially approved. But the other one is no consideration, no concern for social approval. Just love. In simple words, Shakya is a relationship between husband, married couple, and Parakya is relationship between unmarried couple. So out of these two, which one is more brilliant? Brilliant means in which relationship the emotions, loving emotions, are more prominent. So that is when there is no social bond. Like the loving relationship between young boy and a young girl. I heard this scripture says that relationship is very exciting. But then we have to understand that that kind of relationship is accepted only in the case of Krishna. If that relationship develops with anyone other than Krishna, then it is immoral. Okay, let's consider why it's immoral. Say, for example, somebody's wife is in love with somebody else. Why it's immoral? Because socially she belongs to somebody else. She belongs to the husband. And to have a relationship anyone other than the husband is not right. Because she is somebody else's property and he is trying to enjoy that person's property. That's stealing. That's why it's immoral. Now in Krishna's case it doesn't apply because Krishna is the supreme proprietor. He owns everybody. So if the proprietor enjoys somebody, is there anything wrong? No, because he's the proprietor, he has the rightful. But the thing is that he's pretending in order to experience that excitement that Radharani or other gopis are married to someone else. And why is that? Because love is something that when it meets some obstacle, the intensity magnifies. When there is obstacle, then it becomes more intense. Yeah, that says actually, you know, Krishna consciousness is simply love affair. The love affair between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotees. But those activities should never be imitated. Bhagavatam gives a very nice example in that respect. Lord Shiva drank the ocean of poison. Should somebody imitate that activity? Good luck if you do that. So similarly, Krishna's activity should not be imitated. Like Krishna in one hand is Gopijana Ballava, And at the same time, he's Giribharadhari. Can anybody lift a mountain? So if you want to imitate Krishna's activity as Gopijana Ballabha, then first you become Giribharadhari. So Mahat, the exalted personality's activity should not be imitated. Especially Krishna's activities. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, if you want to imitate or follow, imitate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's a devotee. So, that is what Sri Chaitanya, Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. Samarpayitu munnato jalarasam swabhakti shriyam. His own devotion in the mellow of most exalted, meaning conjugal relationship, in parokya, paramour relationship, in a paramour mood of loving exchange. And unnata jala rasang sabhakti sriyam. In order to bestow that, Hari purata sundara duti kadam vasandi pita. Hari, Krishna, appeared assuming the molten golden complexion. Purata sundara duti kadam vasandi pita. Purata means golden. In the molten golden complexion he has appeared. And let that personality of Godhead become manifest in the core of your heart. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's identity also has been very beautifully described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. These are all from Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually, all these verses. But at the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's identity is being established. Jad Advaitam Brahma Upanishadi Tadapashya Tanubha. In Upanishad, what has been described as Brahma Jyoti is his bodily complexion, is his bodily effulgence. Tanu bha. Tanu means body, bha means effulgence. Upanishads are speaking about Brahma Jyoti, Brahman. And that Brahman is his bodily effulgence. Jad Advaitam Brahma Upanishadi Tadapashyatanubha. Ja Atmantar Jami Purusha Iti Sho Asangsa Bibhava. The one who is residing in everyone's heart as the Super Soul is his expansion. Ja Atmantar Jami Purusha Iti So Asangsha Bibhava. Sharisharja Purna Jaiha Bhagavan Sasvayam Ayam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is endowed with six opulences, that is Him. Srimad Bhagavatam makes that point also. Badanti Tat Tatta Vidas Tatvam. Judge Gyanam Advayam Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabdati. The one who is non-dual, Advayam, Badanti tat tattvidas tattvam. those who are the knower of absolute truth. Those who are knower of the absolute truth, they speak about that non-dual absolute as Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So to begin with, he is non-dual. He is one without a second, but he is described as Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Sabdati. So, we are getting here also three aspects. Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Now, the non-dual, then why are they identified in these three different ways? That's being established in the other verse. Brahman is the bodily effulgence. Paramatma, super soul, is expansion. But he himself is Bhagavan. Prabhupada gave a very beautiful analogy in that respect. Give a few analogies actually. One such analogy is, in dark night, when you see a train approaching, what do you see? You see the light. Then as it comes close, you see the train. And when it comes to a platform, then you see people inside and... Right? So it's a matter of perception from different distance. Yeah, it's just a matter of perception from different distance. When we see from a distance, then we see Brahma Jyoti. When we come closer through jnana, when we try to see the absolute truth, then we see him as Brahma Jyoti. By the external endeavor, when we try to know the absolute truth, then we come to this point of seeing beyond the material nature what the spiritual world is. It's transcendental light, Brahma Jyoti. But then when you go internally through yoga and we achieve the perfection, then we see him as the super soul in the heart. And then when we surrender unto him, then through devotion we see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead or Bhagavan. So through jnana, we see him as Brahma Jyoti. Through Ashtanga Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, we see him as the Super Soul. And through devotion, we see him as Bhagavan. That reminds me of one incident. Many of the things I mentioned in the Ocean of Mercy. I was in Rishikesh with Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada used to give darshan, and many people used to come to see Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's health was not so good at that time. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj felt that we shouldn't let people to we shouldn't let Prabhupada to be with people for so long. So he gave a fixed time till 6 o'clock. 5 to 6 is darshan. And after 6, everybody had to leave Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada used to give darshan on the roof actually. So they used to leave. But many of them still wanted to continue. So there were other sannyasis. There were 4 sannyasis there at that time. Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Trivikram Maharaj, Pramana Swami and Biraha Prakash Swami. So they used to preach to them. And so one day there was a... I was just a new devotee at that time. I joined in 76 and it's already 77, early 77, May. And so there was a kind of a nice-looking young sannyasi. Young means, anyway, he may have been in his early 30s or so. And so I started to speak to him. And in course of our discussion, he was insisting that the ultimate goal is Brahman realization and merge in Brahman, Mayavadi. So I started to give my whatever it was. And I quoted that verse, Vadanti tattattva vidastattvam. And I pointed out that Brahman realization is only the initial stage of the perception of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Through jnana, through the process of neti, 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 not this, not this, not this, not this, ultimately one may come to the limit of this material, material nature. And then when he goes to that, beyond that, then he sees that brilliant light. And just as when one goes out of a dark room into midday sun, he gets blinded. So similarly, by seeing the Brahma Jyoti coming out of this dark region of the material nature, one becomes blinded. But if one is fortunate, then he will consider that in spite of this endeavor, I have come to the dead end. So now let me go internally. And that is the process of yoga. Internalize oneself. And then finally, at the core of his heart, he sees the super soul. Paramatma. But that perception of the super soul leads to surrender. Just like when a small person comes across a great personality, he naturally, his head bends down in respect and reverence. So when one sees the super soul and recognizing his minuteness, he surrenders unto him. And that surrender leads to devotion. And through devotion, he ultimately sees the Lord as Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is the ultimate spiritual perception. Well, my presentation to him was not as smooth and as gentle as this. Sometimes I was screaming at him because it was going on between back and forth. So anyway, then he left and I went downstairs. That was a 2-story building. Prabhupada used to live on the first floor and we were downstairs, ground floor. Then Upendra Prabhu, Prabhupada's servant, came to me and said, Prabhupada is calling you. And then it occurred to me that I was screaming and shouting at him right out of Prabhupada's room right on the balcony just outside, close to Prabhupada's room. And I realized, my God, now Prabhupada will probably blast me. Because, mind you, I got a lot of blasting from Srila Prabhupada. So, anyway, I went to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada asked me, what were you doing? I said, Prabhupada, I was preaching. Then Prabhupada asked, what were you preaching? So I briefly told Prabhupada what I told him. And Prabhupada was silent, didn't say anything. And I was just looking down, just waiting for the thunderbolt to strike. But then I looked up and I saw Prabhupada was looking at me. So I asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, did I say anything wrong? Prabhupada said, no, no. What you said is very good. So, it's all due to Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Prabhupada's books are so powerful. I was just a new devotee, just a few months in the movement. But this is in the first canto. And just from that only we got such clear understanding of the Absolute Truth. What is the difference between impersonalism and personalism? Nirvishesha shunnavadi paschatta deshatarine. Srila Prabhupada came to drive away the voidism and impersonalism from the Western world. What's this noise? কি হচ্ছে ওকে ওদের বলে এখানে ইয়ে না করতে দে কাম টু দ্য ধাম জাস্ট সো টু গো ব্যাক টু শ্রী চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু সো দিস ইজ দ্য প্লেস ওয়ে শ্রী চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু অ্যাপিয়ার্ড এন্ড অল দিস ওয়ান্ডারফুল পাস্ট টাইমস টুক প্লেস হিয়ার. You have yesterday, or day before yesterday, he went to Jogpeet, Mahaprabhu's birthplace, Jagannath Mishra's house. And those days, this place was a city. Thousands of people are living here. It was one of the most important place of learning. People used to come from all over to study here. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, as a child, he displayed so many wonderful pastimes. The house that you saw, can you imagine? One day, Sachi Mata came out of the house, came out of the kitchen maybe. Like those days, the houses were not like that. There used to be different structures for different activities. Bedroom, kitchen and dining room practically used to be together. And so, anyway, And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just a little child. He couldn't even walk. He used to crawl. And sometimes children crawl in the courtyard. Kiyala. এত কথা বলতে হবে, গার্ডকে বলো ওর কথা না বলে। গার্ড আছে কি করতে এখানে? চৈতন্য মহাপ্রভু বেবি লিটল নিমাই ওয়াজ ক্রলিং ইন দ্য কোর্টিয়ার্ড and Sachimata was in the kitchen doing his household chores. When she came out of the kitchen, she saw that a snake is coiled around baby Nimai. Can you imagine? I mean, I can see many of you shocked. So can you imagine? I mean, just by imagining, you are feeling that way. How the mother must have felt at that time. She screamed and everyone came running. Now what to do in a situation like that? Like they're afraid that if the snake gets attacked or afraid, it may bite. And so they all were standing there, not knowing what to do. Someone started to chant, Garura, Garura. And so then the snake gradually left. And now, who is that snake? Ananta Shesh came to play with his Lord. It happened just 500 years ago, right in that place. You have been to Ganga? Was it today or yesterday? Oh, you haven't gone to Ganga? Okay. Yeah, like, anyway, those days in Ganga, there were many ghats. You know what ghat is? The staircase leading to the water for people to take bath. And people used, those days, there was no, you know, tap water and things. So they used to go to the Ganga to take bath. And they also used to do their worship on the bank of the river. So some young girls means those days the girls used to get married by the age of 13. So that means these girls were maybe 10 years, 11 years old. And Nimai was about 7, 8 years old. He was still going to his guru's school to study. And the girls, young girls, used to worship Lord Shiva and Durga Devi in order to get a good husband. Because those days that used to be the ambition of all the girls, to get a good husband. So they used to worship Lord Shiva or Durga on the bank of the Ganges. So Nimai used to go to them and used to sit in front of them. I know who you are worshipping. I know why you are worshipping. Good. If you really want to fulfill your desire, worship me. All these offerings are actually meant for me. Because Shiva is my servant and Durga is my maidservant. You can well imagine the condition of those girls. They would say, Nimai, what are you saying? Don't speak like that. It's blasphemy. Nimai said, look, I don't indulge in frivolous talk. Whatever I say is the truth and nothing but the truth. I am. Then, as I told you, offer it to me, all your fruits and flowers, whatever you're offering. So some girls would offer it to him. And some girls used to run away. And he said, those who don't offer it to me, they will get a husband. 75 years old. With 4 co-wives and so many children. But those who are offering their offerings to me, they'll get a husband handsome as Cupid, handsome as Kartikeya. And he'll have wealth like Kuvera. And he would keep on this. So these girls were running away. They would, out of fear, would come to him and offer their offerings to him. Those days, these ghats were meant for, some ghats were meant for women, some were for men. There were separate areas. So, and they would go keeping their dry clothes on the bank. So Nimai would take the ladies' clothes to the men's area and men's clothes to the ladies' area. After taking their bath, they would come out. The women would see that instead of their sari, there is some dhoti and kurta. And the men also would come out and see, instead of their dhoti, there are some saris. And so, in this way, Nimai would display his naughty childhood pastimes. And not only that, some brahmanas would be chanting Gayatri, half submerged in the water. And he would go in front of them. Open your eyes and see the one that you are meditating upon. He is standing in front of you. And they would feel completely annoyed. Nimai, what are you saying? And sometimes he would come underwater. The person standing in water chanting Gayatri, he would grab them by their legs and pull them into the water. And people, he would think that a crocodile is dragging him into the water. And people, other people will start shouting, what happened, what happened? And so in this way he would perform his childhood pastimes. The young girls used to go and complain to Masachi Mata, look, Nimai is doing this to us. And Sachi Mata would say, this boy has become so naughty. And some people would go and complain to Jagannath Mishra. Then Jagannath Mishra would be very upset. he would take a stick and he said that I have to chastise this boy. He has gone, it's too much the way he is behaving. Then those who are complaining, they would say, no, that's all right. Actually, Jagannath Mishra, whatever he does, after all, you like it. Although you're complaining, telling it to you what he does, but ultimately we have to admit that we enjoy what he does. So please don't chastise him. Please don't get angry on him. Jagannath Mishra said, no, nothing doing. It's beyond its limit. It's incorrigible. And Jagannath Mishra, the stick, would go out to look for Nimai. And the girls would go and report to Nimai, Nimai, your father is coming. Better watch out. He's coming in a very angry mood. And then Jagannath Mishra would see that Nimai is coming as if just from the school, he's just from his class, he's coming. His hair is dry, his dress is completely dry, there's some mark of some ink on his cheek. There's no sign of him being near water. So Jagannath Mishra shout at him, you've been doing all this mischief. Oh, why? What did I do? You've been to the Ganga and did all that. I'm coming from school. I don't know why they complain about me like that. So this is how Nimai would perform his pastime. Jagannath Mishra also would wonder. There is no sign of him being near water. I don't know why these people are complaining like that about Nimai. So all that happened right over here. Just a few meters away on the bank of the Ganges. And actually the course of Ganges was even closer. I have seen Ganges move far away. Ganges was quite far away. It was about 1 kilometer away from here. But then Ganges actually came close, started to move this way. And Ganga came so close that at one time we were worried that we may lose Prabhupada's samadhi in Ganga. Came so close. And we used to pray that please don't come anymore any closer. And it happened, Ganga then moved away. So you can see, you have seen Jagannath Mishra's house. Jagannath Mishra's house was practically on the bank of the Ganges. This is how Nimai performed his wonderful pastimes right here. There are so many such. Right again, another thing on the bank of the Ganges. This is now Nimai is about 16 years old. And he has his own school. He has his number of students. And a very, very powerful scholar came from Kashmir, defeating all the scholars of India, traveling all the way to West India, South India, came to the, this was about the last place to conquer. His condition, his concern, his desire was to defeat all the scholars of India and get the recognition as the greatest scholar of India of that time. His name was Keshav Kashmiri. Because he's from Kashmir, he was known as Keshav Kashmiri. So he was such a powerful scholar who defeated all the other scholars. So when he came to Navadvip, the scholars of Navadvip, some of them ran away. And many of them didn't want to come out of their house because they were afraid to face him, because they thought that defeat is inevitable. So they wanted to save the embarrassment of being defeated by him. But this caller also is waiting, Keshav Kashmiri, waiting for the scholars, other scholars to come and confront him. And the thing is that they had to write down, I have been defeated by him, and accepting him as the greatest scholar. So he's waiting, okay, let's see when they come back, you know. And one evening, he was walking on the bank of the Ganges, just around here. And he saw that on the bank of the Ganges, there's a young boy teaching the students, a group of students. He became curious. He went and asked him, "So, who are you? What's your name?" "My name is Nimai, the son of Jagannath Mishra." "So, you are that Nimai Pandit." He said, "Well, people out of affection call me a Pandit. Nobody actually." "Very good. I can see that you're quite humble. So you're teaching. What are you teaching?" "Well, I am teaching just grammar. You see, in Sanskrit, grammar is the first thing that you study. From that you get the structure and get the concept of the language. So the beginning of the study is grammar. And so Keshav Kashmiri kind of challenged him. So Chandimai said, "You know, who am I to confront you? You are such an exalted scholar. So let me take advantage of meeting you. So what do you want to hear?" "Here's Ganga is flowing. Can you please say something in glorification of Ganga?" So Keshav Kashmiri right there composed 100 shlokas in glorification of Ganga. And it's been described that just with the speed that Ganga was flowing, with the same speed practically he composed and recited those verses, 100 verses. And then he asked, "So, what do you think?" "Fine, very nice. You're undoubtedly a great scholar. So what do you think of this composition?" "It's fine. And accepting a few mistakes here and there." "In my composition, there is no room for mistake." "What do you understand about poetry that you are so speaking about mistake? What are the mistakes? Tell me, what did you find?" So he recited one verse, one of the 100. And in that he pointed out 5 credits or ornaments and 5 mistakes. Like, these are poetic consideration. Like, he pointed out that the structural mistake, like some words, like subject, in simple words we can say probably, the subject comes before the predicate. But here the predicate came before. That's two such mistakes he pointed out. But the one of the most brilliant one is that there he described Ganga, described Lord Shiva as the husband of Bhavani Durga. Bhavani Bhatta. Bhavani is Durga and Bharta means husband. So the husband of Durga. Now he pointed out the Bhavani, the word comes as Durga is Bhavani because he is the wife of Bhava, Lord Shiva. So to say that Lord Shiva, who is the husband of the wife of Bhava, as if he is the husband of somebody who is somebody else's wife. So in this way, he pointed out so many mistakes. And Keshav Kashmiri was devastated. His whole dream is shattered. Like his ambition was to be recognized as the greatest scholar of India. And now he has been defeated by a 16-year-old boy. So he actually had the benediction from Saraswati that she would always reside on his tongue. That means whatever he would speak would be coming from Saraswati, the goddess of learning, the goddess of wisdom. And he was praying, what did I do that you rejected, you deserted me, and I had to accept the defeat from a 16-year-old boy. And then Saraswati appeared to him and told him, Keshav, today your learning has met its ultimate glory. The personality who defeated you is none other than my Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is not a discredit, but it is the glory of your learning. So then Keshav Kashmiri came and fell at his feet, recognizing him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, I'll tell another pastime and then I'll end, because pizzas are waiting. Nimai was just a little boy, maybe 4 or 5 years old, when Brahmana came here. And so Jagannath Mishra, seeing that powerful, effulgent Brahmana, he invited him to his house. And those days, these Brahmanas, even though they would be invited by other Brahmanas, but they would eat food cooked by them. They themselves would cook. So this was a Brahmana who was a traveling mendicant, going from one place of pilgrimage to another. And he was the worshipper of Bal Gopal. So he cooked. And when he was making the offering, and then he saw Nimai eating that food. He just screamed out, oh, this little boy spoiled my offering. So Jagannath Mishra came running. What happened? What happened? See, your son has spoiled my offering. So Jagannath Mishra was very upset with Nimai. And the Brahmana consoled him. No, he's just a child. What's the point? He doesn't know. So he did. Who doesn't know what he did? And then Jagannath Mishra requested, please cook again. So he said, no, see, I travel and often I fast. I don't get anything to eat. It happens quite frequently, so I'm used to it. So it seems that the Lord doesn't want me to eat today. But on Jagannath Mishra's insistence, he cooked again. Again, when he was making the offering with closed eyes, and as he opened his eyes, he saw Nimai eating that. He screamed again. Again, this boy spoiled my offering to the Lord. This time Jagannath Mishra was really upset, but he kind of pacified him. And Jagannath Mishra said, please cook again. He said, no, no, no. I offered twice, I cooked twice, and yeah, don't worry, it's all right. I'll take some fruits and all. But then Bishwarup came, and this Brahman was struck with wonder, seeing Bishwarup's beauty. Such a handsome person with such effulgent features. And then when Bishwarup kept on insisting, please take, because if you remain hungry in the household of a householder, then that will bring inauspiciousness and misfortune to the householder. So if, for the sake of this householder, please cook again. And this time they took all kinds of precaution. Nimai was taken to the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, his uncle. And the ladies were surrounding Nimai. Jagannath Mishra was sitting outside the door. The door was bolted from outside with a stick in his hand, probably. And the ladies were joking with Nimai. Nimai, you ate the food cooked by some brahmana. Who knows what caste he is? Even the brahmanas had the levels. So you lost your caste by eating from his cooking. Nimai said, if a cowherd man eats the food cooked by brahmana, does he lose his caste? They couldn't understand, what's he talking about? Anyway, Nimai was kept locked inside the house. Jagannath Mishra himself is sitting outside the door. The door is locked from outside. Now the brahmana is making the offering again. Again, Nimai came and started to eat. And he was about to scream. Nimai said, what kind of person you are? You asked me to come and accept what you're offering, and when I'm coming and eating, you start screaming and shouting. And then the brahmana saw that his Bal Gopal is this little Nimai. Nimai showed him his transcendental form. And from that time the brahmana stopped traveling and he settled down in Navadvip. Nimai told him, please don't disclose my identity to anyone else. So the brahmana never told, but he settled down there, and every day he used to come to have the darshan of Nimai. So can you imagine, 500 years back, all this happened just around here. It's unfortunate that we are not there at that time. But at the same time, we are having access to all these pastimes. We are here. And we have the opportunity to become a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So let's take full advantage of this wonderful opportunity.